host the weekly RC Racing podcast with your host myself, Russell Lee, and as always, the fantastic Chris. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm not doing too bad, mate. It's been a good racing week, should we say that? So,
let me take this one. So, a massive thank you to CMO Distribution, Schumacher Racing, and Will Speed, the companies that keep us in there every week and throw us some prizes at Christmas. So, Chris, as always, straight in with it this week with Thomas Phipps, brand new CML Associated signing. How you doing, Tom? You okay?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, Russ. How are you both doing?
Yeah, really good. Yeah. Really good. It's nice to get you on.
Yeah, it's nice to be on again.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're a newsmaker recently, aren't you? So, you know, everything for the listeners.
Yeah.
And only the biggest and best drivers.
Well, what can I say?
Yeah. So, you had a bit of settling down, really, haven't you, with cars over the last couple of years? Because, I mean, you were with Schumacher last year. I think you were with X-Ray for 12 months as well before that?
Something like that, yeah. We joined Schumacher at the end of 2021, and then we were with them until about a month ago.
Yeah.
So that was a good two-year span.
Yeah, cool. And they obviously, as I like to call it, to all my friends, you've come home to Associated.
Yeah, really happy. Since we've been here for, I think we joined about 2 weeks ago, we've loved it. So yeah, I couldn't be happier at the minute.
But I think you've hung around quite, from what I've heard and I've seen, you seem to spend more time in the Associated pits all summer than you did in your own anyway.
So, yeah, well, a lot of the national season, I was kind of outside of the pitting area.
Yeah, it's a good little crack with our team, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. And you've certainly you've stirred up a few timesheets already as well, haven't you?
Yeah, well, we did Slough last Saturday, and that went a lot better than expected. I was just kind of hoping to try and come back and be somewhat competitive, just like try and make probably top 7, top 8. But yeah, it went a hell of a lot better than expected, so I can't really complain.
Yeah, it was. It looked like it was a decent run, to be fair, mate. You didn't seem to be too off the pace, considering you've only. It was your second meeting with the cars, wasn't it? But
yeah,
you've done obviously a bit of practice here and there, and
yeah.
Had you run the car at Carpet before the weekend? Two-wheel drive, by the way. We talk about listeners. Sorry.
Yeah, so the first time we ran it on carpet was a Potteries Club meeting, which we did with Chris a couple of weeks ago. And then we ran it at Midlands because we couldn't get into Junction 16 because we were on the reserve list because we booked in really late. Because I wasn't planning to kind of race for a while. So we booked in really late for that. We were on the reserve list and we didn't get in, unfortunately. So we decided to go to Midlands instead for a practice so we just could try a few things. And then, yeah, the third time on carpet was at Slough.
So, obviously, not a lot of practice. What was your... Obviously, at Pottery, I was there, but obviously we need to tell the listeners, what was your sort of immediate feelings with the cars? What was better? What did you think that you kind of missed, maybe?
Probably missed the kind of agility of the Schumacher, because around Pottery, it would kind of steer quite like aggressively, so I could kind of get it through the hairpins there, whereas the AE kind of lumbered a bit more, but then it was consistent. Like, my first quali was consistent, so it was like I was kind of relatively quick with it, but it was just so easy to drive for 5 minutes. So it was just kind of taking the battering of the steering I was giving it. And it was just like, it was just going round and not cocking a wheel, not losing the rear end anywhere. It was just planted.
That's pretty cool. So it was just, because for those that don't know, I think would aggressive be a fair word to suit your driving style, I think?
Yeah, a lot of people have said to me that I'm quite an aggressive driver, so I've kind of taken that and stuck with it, I suppose.
Yeah, and obviously if you've got a car that you can trust for 5 minutes to not do anything like crazy on you when you want to be aggressive with it, you're already kind of winning, aren't you?
Yeah, well, it's just it's funny because even when I kind of pushed it a bit harder, it was like it would still be consistent. I wasn't kind of getting silly little crashes like I'd had before. So where I kind of had outright pace with the Schumacher, I always struggled for 5 minutes, especially on carpet. Last winter season, like, I was spinning off everywhere, but then I'd always have that kind of one clean run, but then struggle to get the other three. Whereas kind of with this like associated, it feels to me more consistent for 5 minutes. I might be a couple of tenths a lap slower than I was before, but it's so much easier over 5 minutes now.
Yeah, and I think considering you've only done like a couple of outdoor practice sessions and a couple of indoor meetings, you'll quite easily claw that time back over the period of getting used to the car, won't you?
Yeah, well, especially with these new Fusion Slims that come out recently, because they kind of, from what we know and from what we've heard from other associated drivers, is that they've kind of really helped the associated drivers kind of unlock more steering out of the car. So we haven't really suffered with that much understeer, to be fair. And then when we tried fresh tyres at Midlands for the first time, it was like spinning, like it was 180 and everywhere around the corners. So that was kind of really weird. We managed to kind of dial the setup back a bit and got it feeling really good.
Yeah. Is there anything that you've sort of tried on these cars that you used to do religiously on the Schumachers, like brought over?
Yeah, one of the things was tapered pistons that Dad kind of kept trying without me knowing. So when we went to try it, the two-wheel drive in the wet, when we first got the car, he was using tapered pistons because we used them quite regularly in the Schumacher. And they felt pretty good. And then I didn't even know we were running them at Slough, but we were all day and it felt fine. But we didn't realise how much of a revelation it was to associated drivers.
Yeah, I think a few people have gone around looking for buying tapered pistons now.
Yeah. It's because we never ran them on carpet with the Schumacher. We'd only ever run them when it was like a bumpy outdoor track. But Dad's just been kind of experimenting with stuff on the car without me knowing. So I've just kind of been driving the car blindly. And he's just been trying all these things that he's trying to map over. Because we're kind of used to the 13mm shocks, so we kind of knew what to expect straight away.
Yeah, they're a little, I suppose it's a bit lazier, the better way to describe them.
Yeah, I suppose
they don't,
so, yeah.
They don't react quite as quick as the 12s do, I think, because of the oil volume.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody will be able to describe the exact science of it, but
yeah,
I can't. So.
No, neither.
Go on, sorry.
No, go on, mate. I was finished.
All right, so how did you start with the cars then? Did you get your two-wheel drive and your four-wheel drive at the same time? Because I know you've had an indoor and outdoor car, haven't you?
Yeah.
What have you set up the... Because you were running the outdoor car first, weren't you? You were doing loads of testing at Telford.
Yeah, so when we got the... So we got three cars straight away. We got a D B6.4 and then a normal B6.4. And then a B74.2D. So Dad built the D two-wheel drive first, so I could run it at Telford to practice with it, because it's winter, so it's guaranteed to be soaked all the time now. So we got that built, practiced with it, just kit spec, and it was really good. And then he built the carpet car on the same week, but we tried the shorter B6.4D chassis, and other than that, it was kit setup, which is what we ran at Potter's.
Yeah.
And then the four wheel was built last week, I think, and I've run it once so far at Telford.
Was that
that's been feeling good.
Was that a practice day, yeah?
Yeah, just a few hours practice, just but it was set up like an intermediate setup, so it was a 4.5 going around in the wet. So when we first got there, it was like drifting around everywhere. It was kind of more fun than practice at the start, but we managed to try more stuff and it was good. It was good in the end.
Ah, cool. Is that a centre diff slipper on that?
Sensitive.
Wow. Perfect. Ah, cool, mate. Have you got your bodies painted yet? Have you done some one cans, or have you got them with the painter? Or
funnily enough, our old shells have actually fit these chassis because they're J Concept shells.
Yeah.
So we've managed to. So we got the kit shells. I think we're probably going to get them sent off to get sprayed, because I think they're going to work better as wet shells, to be honest. So. We've got some new J Concept shells coming in, because the ones I've got now are starting to become very bad. So we've got some new ones coming in that are J Concept shells.
So just quickly back to the four wheel drive, because obviously we know it's not, you've never made any secret how much you love four wheel drive.
No.
You've only done one testing session with it.
Yeah.
But did it look after you? Did it? Was it a good? How did you feel swapping? Because the L1 Evo R, whichever. I'm not sure. Is it just an R or an Evo
L1R.
You know, is it that in the high grip flat tracks? That's, you know, it's a pretty nice car to drive.
Yeah, it was. I loved that car. Yeah, that L1R was good.
Yeah. So how does the your limited experience on the 74.2 compare?
Well, the one thing I found was it whips a hell of a lot differently in the air. Yeah, that was like my biggest notice.
The direct shaft drive.
Yeah, so it was like it kind of whipped the same as a two-wheel drive, whereas the belt you kind of had to throttle a little bit more to get it to move. But on the ground, it wasn't that much different, I don't think, like as in kind of belt to shaft comparability. But I suppose the only issue is we never tried the L1R in the wet Telford, I don't think. So I wasn't too sure how much it would compare, but from what we drove and from what we felt and the changes we made, it was good.
Good to hear. Because obviously, with that being your favourite class, and I think people, it's no secret, the AE brand for quite some time was always let down by its four-wheel drive. We always had a world-beating two-wheel drive.
Mm.
But we were always a bit behind, and I think now we've got two cars that are at the top of, you know, in my opinion, for what it's worth, the top of the stack.
Yeah.
It's just interesting for somebody who's literally the last four wheel drive they're driven was the very latest of a competitor's.
Yeah.
To swap over. Did it handle any different? Was it like more aggressive in or better out, smoother?
Well, again, it was kind of hard to tell because it was a four and off in the wet. But to be fair, when we changed the toe on the rear, we kind of messed about with that. It had a lot of drive out of the corners, so yeah. I mean, I think when we drive it on carpet sometime in the near future, hopefully, I'll probably be able to give a better kind of direct comparison. Yeah, at the minute, I'm not 100% sure like how different they both react on the same track in the same conditions.
I mean, it's good to see you coming over. It's another nice face in the pits, and obviously I don't think anybody's, I mean, we can't really say too many nice things about your dad because he'll, you know, but you know, he is one of the popular guys in the pits, so I think it'll add a bit more atmosphere to the pits.
So we loved it. We both really enjoyed the pitting with you lot on Saturday at Slough. We thought that was just like awesome. We really enjoyed working with you guys and having a laugh. So yeah, it was from our first kind of introduction to being in a team environment, it was great.
So how'd you go with nationals this year? You're like Mr. BQ, weren't you, for most of it?
out of the 10 national rounds we did, I was in 9 B finals. So I mean, like the first round at Robin Hood, I was really happy I made 2 B's because I didn't make any B's last year. My highest quali result last year was C3. So like at the first round, I was so happy to have 2 B finals, and I was like, if I could just get like 2 more B finals this year, I'll be happy, because I just wanted to get F1 this year.
Yeah.
And then when I kept getting B finals over again and I was getting closer to the A, I was like, oh, when's it ever going to happen? And then it finally happened at the very last round at Torch, where I got 10th in the A. But even the day before, I was BQ, so I was just like, it's got to happen soon. Like, I'm getting so close every time. But no, it was a really like unexpected national season, because I don't know what happened, but I was just like way more consistent this year at the nationals than I had been ever.
I think that the consistency, when you get to a certain level, the consistency is probably worth more than being able to push and go another tenth a lap faster.
Yeah, definitely. Especially outdoors.
Oh yeah, definitely, because you know, not every lap can be the same, can't it? On some tracks, you know, you go round, and in the time it's took you to get back round, another 10 cars have gone round and pushed more sand onto the line, or at tracks like Nemo for the end of seasons, as people were driving round, the bigger ruts coming up under the carpet, and there was bumps changing here, there and everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think in off-road, the variables make consistency quite a challenge, really.
Yeah, well, I just think back to the Oswestry two-wheel drive regional we had this year, where out on pace, Charlie Saunders was like the quickest by anyone. It was like half a second a lap quicker. But then Tom Yardy was just the most consistent out of all of us. So ETQs, whereas Charlie was always so much quicker, and then he'd crash. So that was just kind of, that was a big proof, or kind of a massive proving point, that consistency mattered a lot more than being quick that day.
It's a bit of the old master still hasn't taught all the young kids everything they know.
Yeah.
You know, I think he actually said that quite jokingly, you know, because Tom's obviously one of the nice guys in RC. I don't think many people have got a bad word to say about him. And I think he came over and he shook Charlie's hand and he was having a laugh with him, said, "Well done." And he just said, "Well, you've got a lot to learn yet, kidder."
Yeah.
It was just like, it was just nice to see that little bit of banter between the two of them. It was quite good. But yeah, so next year, hopes for the regionals are that you'll probably be pushing him and having a good battle with him now.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, hopefully we'll have, depending on how far Coventry get with their new track, hopefully we might have another addition to the Midwest calendar next year, because at the minute we've only got two, and then, well, three if you include NEMA. Yeah, we've only got at the minute Telford and Oswestry, so hopefully Coventry will be done. I'd imagine they'll get a really good track done, so that'll be nice.
Yeah, it'll be, we do need the variation.
Yeah.
As good a job as Silverstone did with us going indoors for a regional, and you know, it's not, some would say Silverstone and Southport are not Midwest regionals. Yeah. But yeah, I think that for me it's more a case of a regional, if possible, should be outside. I do appreciate everything that Silverstone did stepping up so we could have a regional, but for me, I'd rather have gone and somebody just stuck a grass track in a random field somewhere.
Yeah.
To me, that's an off-road thing. I don't know about how you feel about carpet racing, but it's not my favourite, but I can understand it's a necessary evil.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more reserved for the winter, to be honest, but I don't mind. I'm not that bothered, to be honest. If it's a regional, then I'd be happy, because, you know, it's a place to go, and I don't mind carpet that much. So, but yeah, I kind of see where you're coming from. Like, with regionals, kind of probably would be better to stick outdoors. But, you know, the situation we were in last year, Silverstone was probably a good option, and it was a good day anyway. They gave us a good track. So,
yeah, it was. It was always good fun.
Yeah.
Where are you planning to race over the winter then, Tom? Have you got anything else you're doing?
Definitely doing Junction 16. Really enjoy it there. Although their tracks kind of keep getting crazier every year, so I'm excited to see how technical this next one is. But yeah, we'll definitely do that, because there's a lot of competition there, and there's a lot of mates that go. So definitely be doing that. I don't really know what else, really. Probably just see as it comes, see what other people are doing, tag along, and, you know, just enjoy it, really. Just get some track time in before the Nationals. Oh, we're definitely doing that, what's it, that thing in the mid-January workshop BRC Masters thing.
Yeah,
BRC
Masters, yeah. Really right.
Yeah, we'll hopefully get booked into that. I think that'll be an awesome event.
Yeah, have you got in for the GP?
Yes, yeah, we got two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive offered, so can't wait for that. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Brilliant, man.
I just can't wait for the buffet. I know that's, you know.
What buffet is that?
Mate, have you never been?
Oh, the Chinese buffet?
Yeah, the world buffet.
Yeah.
Where you get, like, a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. Last year, we were organising the team meal, and it was like, where should we go? And it was like, well, last year we went to that world buffet, and all of a sudden Tommy Hall pipes up and he said, "Yes, we're going there." Like, he made them. It was like, it's brilliant. It's like 17 quid, and you can eat till you puke and then eat some more. It's brilliant. And there's everything.
We never tried that, so there might have to be something we try this time.
Yeah, I think on the Friday we organise a big team meal, and everybody from the AE team goes there.
We'll have to give that a go, and that sounds like good fun.
Yeah, last year we nearly filled half the restaurant. It was like 20 or 20, 25 of us.
You can imagine.
Yeah, so it was good fun. But yeah, not too bad either, 18 quid.
No.
Perfect.
Totally off the subject of racing. Racing diets here.
Well, I think a lot of MKGP is everything outside of it as well. It's just, it's the whole experience of racing in a shopping centre. It's like the track is good, but there's a hell of a lot of people that race. There's a load of spectators as well. So I think the experience as a whole is what attracts a lot of people.
Do you ever notice the crowds?
Yeah.
Like when you're racing?
Yeah, it's to be fair though, when you're racing, I don't really tend to notice the crowds that much. It's only when you're like marshalling or you're spectating yourself, you just see like crowds of people looking.
Yeah, they're like three or four deep. Yeah, it's weird. It's like, I normally, if there's a load of people watching, I get, I wouldn't say nervous, but like, I suppose it is a bit nervous.
Yeah.
Then you look and there's like 1,000 people watching. You're like, actually, I just forgot you were all there.
Yeah. But I think I get more nervous when I see one or two people watching rather than seeing like 20 or more. Because then it's kind of like, if you see one person watching, then you kind of keep thinking, well, what are they thinking about my driving? Whereas if you see like 1,000 people watching, you don't really, I'm not really that fazed if it's like that many people, to be honest.
Yeah. What about you, Russ? Because you crashed more than any of us. So what do you think?
I won, not the last GP, but the GP before I won my final in front of that massive crowd.
Oh.
You keep that trophy for the K final.
It was like the F final or something like that. It wasn't fantastic.
That must have been cool.
Yeah, it was alright, mate. It was alright. You see, mate, I've been doing it 30 years, dude. You know what I mean? You just kind of like, just got it all phased into one. But yeah, no, it's cool. But no, I do love that environment. You know, and like you say, it's not just about the racing is obviously is one thing, but you know, the freedom to go and eat whatever you want, or you know, or just, you know, because it's that long between races, you can literally go off for an hour and come back and still have time to prep your car and whatever.
Yeah, well, I remember last March when me, Charlie, and Archie Bowman went to McDonald's in the morning for breakfast, and it took us like 40 minutes in there. I was getting scared I was going to miss my practice because of how long it was taking.
Yeah.
But it's just stuff like that you remember, and it's just what makes the event. It just makes it so much more enjoyable.
Yeah, I think when we went to the McDonald's, I went down there with, as you say, Charlie. I walked down there with Neil, his dad, for a breakfast one of the days. And it was literally like people were going up to the counter in like heat order to order their food.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, you do your practice, then you'd marshal, then you'd go down to McDonald's for your breakfast. And it was literally people there in heat order. Great.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So where are you at next?
We booked into Bury this Sunday, so whether we get a space I'm not sure, because they're always rammed, so I'm not 100% sure if we'll get in. If we do, oh wait, no we're doing Potteries this Friday. We're doing their
practice night on, haven't they?
Yeah, so we're gonna hopefully kind of spend a lot more time with the four-wheel drive on Friday and get that kind of a bit more settled on carpet. I'm really excited for that should be a good evening.
I mean, I personally, I think running a four-wheel drive in a hall that size, you're mental. You've got a lot more skill than I have, so fair play to you. You know.
Yeah, hopefully nothing breaks, but who knows.
Yeah. So, that's the future. Let's talk about last weekend a little bit. First weekend with it, did you expect to be driving around glued to the rear of Lee Martin's car?
No, I went into the weekend thinking, if I can drive better than I did 30 days ago, because I was overdriving the car so much at Junction 16, their first round. So I was just thinking, you know, this isn't how I've been driving all year. I was putting way too much pressure on myself. So I just thought, I'm going to try and go into this event as open-minded as possible, just can't think about it. So I just tried to drive the car based off of pure kind of ability rather than pressure on myself to drive well. And it felt perfect straight away. But yeah, I didn't expect to be kind of so competitive.
Yeah, because I mean, if you watch it, and people can, they can go on the finals. There was some of those finals where you were literally glued to the gearbox of him, weren't you? It was like, and your car looked effortless.
Yeah, well, that was the crazy thing, was just because the front end was like plastic, I think. Like, we don't have the 6.3 front end or the Ali 6.4 end yet. It was, a lot of it was just kit spec with a kind of a bit of a kind of inspiration from like the Halls' recent setups and one of Marcus Carup's setups from EOS Dawn this year. So we kind of just went with some kind of random setup with a lot of it being kit, and it just felt perfect.
Yeah, I think it's it looked really good. It was one of those weird ones where, because the car looked so stable, it looked really, really slow.
Yeah.
But then you look at the times and it was like, shit. Like, thinking one, yeah. I think in one of the first practices, you were like half a second to nearly a second up on somebody like Tommy Hall. And yeah, I think know they were trying some different things, but
I think second practice, it was like, I don't think I had a crash. I think I was just going around, like, just, it was just so easy. I couldn't believe how effortless it was to drive.
It did. It looked awesome, mate. It looked really good. And, you know, you definitely thought it was because you were grinning like the Joker on the rostrum.
Yeah.
So we were definitely checking out that.
Yeah.
I mean, a bit of bad luck in one of the in the finals, wasn't it? Which I think you could have probably arguably challenged for the win, but just a bit of bad luck getting caught with in a bit of a tangle.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first final, I got past the Yasir, then have the little kicker because he kind of went a bit wide, so I thought I'd go for that. So I got up to second, and then I was going round, probably a second half of Lee, and then I hit the corner going onto the wall of death, so that set me back. And then I did the exact same thing about three laps later, so that set me back even further. So that leg one was kind of a bit of a, I think I was fifth or something, so it wasn't great, but I still had some good racing. I enjoyed the final. And then leg two, just kind of drove around at like 90%, just didn't crash, and it went well. And then leg three, I got into second after about two corners because Yasser kind of overjumped one of the jumps and went a bit wide, so I managed to get through. And then two corners later I crashed and then caused a massive pile up. And then kind of worked my way back up to third and then crashed again. So I finished in fifth. But I loved the finals. It was really good fun.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think it was fatigue catching up with me, to be honest.
I mean, you say worked your way back up and, you know, that you were just sort of driving around at 90%. I don't think you're going to gain a reputation for taking it easy on overtakes, mate.
Well, you, say
you,
that.
You definitely don't like waiting for other cars to get out the way, do you, when you're lapping them?
No.
You were just slicing through the inside of the field, and I think you went around the outside of one on the chicane, and then on the next part of the chicane went up the inside of the other one. And it was like me and your dad were watching it like clenched. You were like, oh, that was a bit risky.
So the question is, yeah, Tom, do you think that you made Lee Martin crash?
Do you think
you pressed him into it? Do you think you were close enough? Do you think you were on his mind, or do you think he's
managed? I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I reckon he's got the experience.
Come on.
Yeah, I gave him loads of pressure. I forced him into that crash. Yeah.
This is where he'll now, after dragging that area, tell you to stay humble.
Stay humble. Nah, bro, mate. Yeah. No, he's good though, mate. He was just relentless pressure, wasn't it? Just keep trying to catch up.
So if you can kind of keep with a distance of, like, if they clip a pipe or something, you're going to be pretty close behind them.
That's it.
So there's always that instant pressure of, if they make one little mistake, you're going to be right behind them.
I say it was a shame for Lee Martin. You know, it was a crash, but it was, you know, he was clipping that corner so close every lap, and then he's like 5 mil, and then you could see just the back wheel just caught on something, just spun him round.
Yeah,
you know, he was lucky.
Yeah, when that happened, it took me like a couple of corners to register I was in the lead, because I thought I was sitting second or something. So I didn't realise it was Lee that crashed until I kind of got the end of the straight and I heard commentary and I was like, oh Christ, I'm in the lead. I've got to like not crash now. I've actually got to concentrate properly.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't back off though.
I was still like trying to push round and kind of make sure to like, because the problem is I find it easier to push from somebody rather than try and defend. So I just tried to keep driving away from them rather than having to try and risk defending for like the last couple of laps.
Yeah, you definitely weren't in the mood to back off. It was like,
no. Well, I think in some situations it's easier to not back off because otherwise you just start driving too slow. You start driving kind of off what you can do, and then you start clipping stuff because you're kind of going slower than what you've been doing all day. So I think in some cases it's easier to just keep pushing and keep kind of taking your natural lines.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose that's the difference between like me and you top guys. Like, if I get into the lead of the final I'm in, I just try and maintain that pace to keep the gap.
Yeah.
Whereas you kind of went, actually, I'm just going to like get the hammer down now and go even faster.
Yeah, well, I was just kind of thinking I was trying to kind of get that mindset of it's practice, you know, you haven't got a car close to you, so just drive like it's practice. And then don't think about it being a final.
Well, if I ever get the lead of a final, I'm just saying in my head, don't crash, don't crash, don't crash.
That's always the worst. That's always the worst thing to do. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, if I'm in the lead of a final, and it's like, if it's a big lead, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
But if it's close, I'm like, you know, you can feel the leg go, can't you, first?
Oh, yeah.
You can feel that little bit of a shake, and then you get a little bit of a twitch, and your hands get a bit stiff, and I think you have a crash, and then you just have to sort of just pause and just have a word with yourself.
Yeah.
And just be like, right, pack it in now.
Yeah.
Get it sorted.
Yeah.
But no, it was really enjoyable. It was great racing to watch, to be fair. You know, you had a battle with a few of the guys, and there was no dirty driving. It was all nice and clean.
Yeah. Leg three was awesome, because there was about five of us in a train for a few laps. It was great. It was just like no contact, but everyone was racing so close.
Yeah.
I think I was in a sandwich between Tommy and Jamie. It was awesome racing. I loved it.
Yeah, it was quite cool watching the three AE cars going round at sort of at that space. And obviously Jamie had a bit of a bobble, didn't he? You collected him. You got through, but then like to get out of the way, you just absolutely sent it off the jump into the face of it and ended up about 4 foot in the air off the top of the ramp.
Yeah. Oh, I'd never been so scared when I was lapping people before. I thought I was going to kind of get collected in something going over that jump, because there's about five of us all going through the wall of death.
Well, it was
so I was trying my best to avoid everyone.
That final that I'm on about where you went outside of the one and up the inside of the other.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was coming, you know, where you switched, you came over the double and then you did like the sweep in left and then you flicked round to the right over the tabletop in front of the rostrum.
Yeah.
It was kind of there. So you went round the outside of the first one off the double landing.
Right.
And then went up the inside of whatever the next car was, and there could have only have been like a B6.4 and a maybe a Mezzo's gap. And it was like, you just, you know, I always find it sometimes more interesting watching like the pit men and the mechanics and the parents of the people that are driving.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't think Gordy realises the amount of faces he pulls while you're driving.
No, I think he was more nervous than I was, to be fair, for that final.
Yeah, he was. He shook his hand at the end of the second leg when you won it, and he goes, I probably should have dried my hand first. I'm so nervous.
Like, yeah.
But nah, it was awesome, mate. And you definitely made the cars look good.
Yeah, it was just great kind of getting to share information with everyone and kind of trying to help people where kind of we knew more about like the tapered pistons and all that. So getting to help like the team and other people that came to ask about them. And then also kind of receiving information from like the halls about what they were trying, like what diff oil they were running and all that. So yeah, it was good. We enjoyed kind of getting information and giving information. It was good.
Yeah, it's all like it's just thrown around. Everybody spitballs, don't they, about their ideas of why things are working, and it's that many brains solve the puzzle a bit quicker.
Yeah, definitely.
The hall's been asking you for tips now, mate.
Well, I wasn't there, but apparently Jamie looked at our car, which like, I mean, I was gobsmacked at, to be fair.
Yeah.
But he said he noticed straight away our rear end was a lot softer. So that was definitely the tapered pistons doing something.
Yeah. So someone said to me they were running different tyres, weren't they? Or they were practicing for the EOS on standard cut staggers or something. Is that right?
Yeah, they had cut staggers, just like standard cut staggers, no glue or anything.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought like if they ran Fusion Slims, they'd probably have destroyed me. But I don't know. I'll take what I can get, to be fair.
I don't think there was much in it. I don't think there'd been much. I think the stagger, the unglued stagger to a slim is probably between maybe 0.3 and 0.5 seconds a lap faster.
Right.
Which is quite a lot. But I think when you look at the consistency of what you could do with your car, you were consistently able to be maybe 3 to 4 tenths faster. So yeah. I think had they have swapped, there would have only potentially have maybe, you know, been a tenth to maybe three at the most per lap difference.
Yeah.
And I don't think that would have been every lap. So I think you'd have been, you know, I don't think Tommy or Jamie would have just bolted those tyres on and disappeared from everybody. I think Lee Martin, like you said, he won the event, you know, drove great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hope he's feeling better. I know he was a bit under the weather.
Yeah.
But I know he was swapping backwards and forwards from the cut staggers to the Fusion Slims as well.
Yeah.
And if you look at the lap times, there was never massive differences, and he's a very consistent driver.
Yeah.
So I don't think you'd have been as far behind as you think, mate. You got to give yourself a bit more credit than that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you kind of just like you get used to seeing them like within everything. So it's like, well, if they did this, if they had the same front tires as everyone else, they'd probably be like destroying everyone, but. I don't know, it's different days, isn't it, I suppose?
What was the... what was? Well, I know the track was... I saw the track later in the videos, but what was the track like?
Awesome. That was genuinely one of the best indoor tracks I've ever driven.
It looked really nice to drive, even the like the jumps into that tabletop corner thing, that looked really, really well set, thought out.
Yeah, it flowed perfectly, in my opinion. There was just the right balance of kind of features and no features.
Yeah.
And the features they did use just worked really well. Like, they kind of flowed into the next section really nicely.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good.
Yeah.
Did they have the heat on?
Yes, it was very hot in there. Right. It was like a gym session after Marshall.
The memories of the last time I went was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. I just remember after Marshall, it was like a gym session. I was sweating.
Yeah.
I was absolutely boiled. I think there's a thing on the wall, isn't there, and it keeps turning on because it's underfloor heated as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like having tyre warmers, but for your whole run.
Yeah.
But no, it was good. I thought the track was very good. I thought there was a nice flow to it. And I think, unlike a lot of indoor tracks, there's definitely a lot of overtaking points.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think sometimes we get so carried away with having 1,012,000 features.
Yeah.
That we take away some of the over points, forget that at the end of the day we are racing and we need points where we can race.
Yeah. So you kind of need points on the track where you know what the car's going to do. Because sometimes on some features it just feels like you kind of don't know what the car's going to do sometimes.
How did you go, Chris?
Well, I drove down there. got there a little bit early. Everybody thought that my idea of breakfast was great, so I got there quite early. There was still a few people parked up outside. I couldn't be bothered to drive back to McDonald's, so I Ubered it, and the guy literally pulled up next to my car, wound his window down, passed me my sausage egg McMuffin through the window and drove off. Didn't even get out of his car. It was brilliant. It was literally like drive-through service, but stationary in reverse. So that was the highlight of my day, to be fair. But now I had, you know, it was really good seeing some of the southern contingent of the AE team. The Tameses were there. Matt Peters' dad, Jonathan, was running. Obviously, Dimitri, he was running the AE. Now he's left Will Speed, and it there's a family called the Likes. I think, is it Eric and Holger?
Yeah.
Like, they're a couple of nice young lads, so they were there. There was the Halls. Pete Lyons was there with Abe, who you know, I've got to say, Abe was on it. It was,
yeah.
You know, I think we've got to give a shout out to Abe. In one of those legs against some big names, he finished fourth.
Yeah, he drove really well all day.
Yeah, so he drove really, really well all day. I did all right. I think I don't want to seem like I'm being big-headed. I don't know. Obviously, you saw a couple of the runs, Tom.
Yeah.
I think I was probably underseeded in the heats.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, you started first in all of them, didn't you?
Yeah, started first in all of them, and in all but one of them, I'd put a lap or even a lap and a half on second place. So I don't want that to sound big headed. I don't want to criticise anybody that was correctly seeded in that heat, but I get why there was, you know, and I'm fine with it. It was fun racing with some new people, made some new acquaintances, had a chat with some new guys on the roster I've never spoken to before. I don't think it really made a massive difference to my qualifying because they were all very, very, very courteous drivers. You know, as soon as they saw the new bright pink nose of my body shell was coming round, they were out of the way. I struggled for a little bit of consistency in one of them. I had a couple of good runs. I think I had a 17th and a 21st in round, but that put me like fourth in the finals. And like Tom said, I think fatigue had just kicked in for the finals.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had such early starts.
Fourth in the C.
Not bad, really. I mean, there's some quick people in the B, weren't there?
Yeah. No, I'm not. I wasn't disappointed with the qualifying, but you know, I was going round and I was really enjoying the racing, but it was like I could only get to say 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, and then it'd all go. Pardon the French, listening to shit.
Yeah.
I think it was just the fatigue of the long day, because to get there on time, I was up at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And with it being triple leg finals, there was a slight delay because one of the younger guys came off the ramp and smashed the computer over and took out timing.
Oh, no way.
So there's a bit of a delay. So by then, we were already a little late, sort of doing. And I think I was just really, really, really suffering. I just struggled, in all honesty. Totally my fault. Wasn't, you know, nobody else. I think I probably could have got a podium in the final had I have not been so sort of thrown it away. But, you know, we'll live and we'll learn for the next time.
What were your final scores in your... If you were fourth, you must have had a couple of podiums in the legs, didn't you?
No, that's not where I finished. Sorry, that was where I qualified fourth. Oh, I don't know where I finished. Okay. I never checked. Sorry, I never checked afterwards. It had kind of gone that way. I think I had a third or a fourth in leg one, and then I think it was like a couple of fifths or something like that. You know, it wasn't really anything great. But no, to be honest, I came away, even though I was a bit disappointed in my finals, it was one of the most enjoyable race meetings I've had in a very long time. It was really good. Might even book in for the next round.
As long as you get home, if you're up at four.
Including the obligatory, I can't be bothered to cook when I get home, I'm going to stop at the services and have a Burger King.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was about half 8, 9 o'clock.
That's not too bad. And you've still got Sunday to yourself, ain't you, as well?
I tell you what, that was lovely. Why do we... Right.
Yeah.
What? I don't know what anybody else's opinion is. Why the hell did we pick Sundays to race?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but why? So I got up on Saturday morning at 4 o'clock. I went to racing. I came back. If that was a Sunday, I would have been zombied for work on Monday morning, or kids for school on a Monday morning if I was a kid.
Yeah.
But what I did was I got up, it was Sunday morning, I had a little lie-in, went downstairs, cut myself a bit of breakfast, did a little bit of housework, and then just did a great impression of a corpse on the sofa. It was brilliant. And then I was still fresh and in a good mood for work. I wasn't evil at work on Monday morning. It was great. We should be racing on Monday more often.
Yeah.
You know, it was brilliant. Was great. So yeah, my vote, we change Sunday racing to Saturday racing. I'd vote for it 100%.
Yeah, that's a good idea, I think.
But yeah, so I believe you were at a meeting with some noisy smelly cars, Russ.
I was indeed. Yeah, we had a full fun weekend of it. Went to Ledbury on Saturday for an endurance race, which was going to then lead into like a normal race meeting the following day, and they were going to have a barbecue at the end and fire pit and stuff like that, some fireworks and stuff. So anyway, it was a 2-hour endurance race. So we got down there about midday, and the race was supposed to start at about 4:30. So we had driver's briefing at 4:00. It went dark at 4:20. We had super pole, and then started the race. So there was 9 teams for a 2-hour race, and my team, or our team, whatever, it was Ollie, Frost, Bruce, and Matt Alcock, you know Matt. And that was our team. So we got Ollie to super pole. He qualified 3rd in the super pole, which we was very lucky, because they did a super pole not only for grid positions, but to put you on a marshal point. So we got a marshal point 3, which was like a low risk one, you know, so you just take your chair up to the top corner and just hope no one crashes on the straight in front of you, basically. So we were lucky there. And yeah, we went out, we were doing 15 minute stints. So our marshal, and then Ollie went on first to start the race, did 15 minutes. And his dad came and relieved me on the marshal. I went and got Bruce ready while Matt was doing 15 minutes. And then Bruce went on, did his 15 minutes, and then we just rotated like this for 2 hours, like between ourselves and the marshalling and whatever. Yeah, it was class. So Bruce had the only instance Bruce had a cut, but he that flipping telegraph pole again, Chris. He's like dunk. It's upside down, with the engine running. So anyway, I ran and got the car, got it started. And then another time, off the triple, there was a massive 4-car pile up, and he was in the thick of this crash. Like, they were all came together, and then about 3 corners later, after the end of the straight, he got T-boned again. It broke his rear upright on the car. So, but he was coming towards the end of his second stint anyway. So I made him drag pretty much do a full lap with the rear corner hanging off it, so we could get the lap before we could send Matt out for the run. And then we rolled round in like 3rd place for after it all, you know, it all settles down after about 20 minutes. So we rolled round in 3rd place for the whole race, and then coming into the last bit, Matt was on, and then Bruce came on for the way it worked out, that Bruce got like the last 7 minutes sort of thing, like you got a full tank of fuel through his car. So Bruce went 8th, and he was 18 seconds behind 2nd place on the track, and that was Colin Davies, one of the guys that runs the Nitro Cross series. So Bruce, I didn't know this at the time, so I'm not saying, oh, I told Bruce to go for it or anything. He just drove, and at the end of the race he was 2 seconds behind, so in 7 minutes he'd made up 16 seconds. So yeah,
that's not bad.
Yeah, we were like, oh, I thought he would have had another lap, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, it was all right. So we finished 3rd. You know, he's pretty close. I mean, the lead team had 3 laps on us, but they had George Chamberlain, some other meaty drivers in that team as well. So 3rd wasn't bad, really, for a couple of kids and,
but
you know, and Matt.
Let's be honest, the important part was the return of under chassis neons.
That is absolutely true, yeah. I did light all the cars up with LEDs down the side pods. Each car had like 20 LEDs under it.
It was quite bright, mate.
And
it really was.
Obviously that sounds really bad, but I won the prize for the best team cars, because I made the lights for all the cars. So I bought the side guards and drilled holes in them and put them on. So yeah, they were very bright. They were very, very bright.
Well, I'm sure you'll share the videos of, was it Bruce's, the one with the green?
Bruce was blue and the other two were green.
I'm sure you'll share the videos,
because I built these LEDs up, and they're only like 5 volt LEDs. And on when I've had them on buggies in the past, I only run like 6 volt Beck, so they're only running like 6 volts, so it's not really, you know, stressing them. Well, because we've got lipos in the in the buggies, they're running high voltage servos, or like on Bruce's car, it's just a lipo plug straight into the receiver. They're running on like 8.4 volts. Man, they were bright. They were unbelievably bright. So it was pretty cool. Anyway, so we did the race. You'll love this, Chris. We set the awnings up, and we left the and we obviously had the tables there. So we said, when we left, there was me, Matt, Ollie, and Bruce, we set the awnings up because we were racing the next day. So anyway, we drove home, left the tables and awnings there, and I'm cooking beans on toast for me and Bruce when we get home, and I look at my phone and we've cancelled tomorrow because of the bad weather coming in, and I'm like, mother flipper. So yeah, we had to go back on Sunday to pick the orders up anyway, and then Bruce was moaning a bit, and our mate Stu had charged 6 batteries. So I said, well, we've got to go down anyway, the car's already dirty from the night before, do you want to just go and run? And they were like, yeah, alright. So we went down in there in the sopping wet conditions. We swept the track twice, and the water just kept coming back, and it was still raining as well anyway. So yeah, so we just smashed around there for the day. We got there about 10:30, and we left about, it was like it was dark when we got to the motorway, so it must have been like 3:30. So we spent the day at the track changing diffs and trying rear springs on Bruce's car, just to try and get so the back end's a bit more planted coming out the corners, because it just slips and slides everywhere. So we ended up on the LTC gears, you know the smaller diff gears.
Yeah, the lower drive ones.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. So we tried them as well, had them in, tried some springs, and I think his car's a little better now. It's really funny. Bruce hates it. He's like, oh, I don't like this, and all of a sudden he'll get quicker and quicker and quicker. And I'm like, well, you took that corner better. He's like, oh yeah. He's really hard to test with, Chris. So I
had to, Steve is genuinely
so hard. Dad had to have a go with his car, and I'll tell you what, you should see me try and drive steering wheel with the car that's actually quick. He's like, oh, I'm like, oh Bruce, oh, I can see why you're struggling here.
Right then,
it's very weird.
You've been very quiet for a bit while we ranted on about our weekend.
That was very interesting to listen to be fair.
Oh, cheers, mate. You can come
it's
on
now again. Time to get back to the real superstar of the show. After having to listen to Russ.
So that sounded quite fun with an endurance race. I've never done one of them.
Yeah, it was alright, mate. It was alright. The first one we've done in a couple of years. We used to do like endurance races back in the day, and you'd get an engine at the start of a meeting and you'd run it in and then drive it for 6 hours or something like that. They were quite fun meetings as well, yeah. But yeah,
they all did well as well.
Yeah, it was brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant.
Awesome.
You'll have to come and have a go, Tom.
Yeah, hopefully one day, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Come down have a go.
I'll give you a clue, mate. They're really noisy and really smelly.
Yeah.
But they're also really, well. Really fast, Chris.
They're messy. I bet you Tom's four-wheel drive will go faster than that.
They are powerful. Yeah, it's a different kind of driving style, mate. They are just beasts, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Class, mate, class. Right, then we're all rambling on. Have you got anything for the Hall of Fame, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to put in the Torch national track from this year because it kind of meant a lot to me. I got my best two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive national results with it. So, yeah, I loved that track. I thought it was really good. So I'd like to put that in just because it means a lot to me.
Cool, mate. Cool.
Awesome. I'm sure Steve will be excited to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, the facility was really good this year. And the layout. I'm glad they kept the layout for both days because it was completely different driving it in the wet with a two-wheel drive and then in the dry with a four-wheel. So I'm really glad they kept the same layout because it flowed really well. And then the pizza and the burgers were nice as well. So, yeah, I couldn't complain about anything for that weekend.
Well, I mean, the pizzas were lovely. But as somebody who prefers his burgers cooked, I wasn't a massive fan of the burgers. But, you know, hey-ho.
Right then, Tom, do you want to thank anyone before we let you go? Friends, family, sponsors, parents, anyone at all?
Yeah, thank you guys for inviting me on the podcast and kind of helping me kind of get to grips with joining CML. So I'd like to thank CML. I'd like to thank my parents. I'd like to thank my friends. Like, just thanks to people who've supported me.
Tom, just stand alone while we thank the sponsors, mate. Chris, do you want to thank the sponsors?
Yes, mate, and thank you to the show sponsors. That is CML Distribution, Schumacher Racing and Will Speed. Get ready, guys, because Russ is going to be tapping you up for our Christmas prizes very, very soon.
I am indeed.
I will just add, if you are interested in becoming a title sponsor for next year, get in touch with us on Facebook and we may be able to work something else out.
Yeah, definitely. And I will thank our listeners. Guys, thanks very much for getting involved with our Car Crash Club podcast that we lovingly produce for you every week. Don't forget to like and share for your chance to be in with the prize at Christmas, which is coming very, very soon. 6 weeks or something like that is probably a good guess at the moment. So that's it. Don't forget to like and share. Tom, thanks for coming on, buddy. You've been fantastic.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being on here.
And Chris, awesome. Obviously, you are a wonderful man, and I will probably see you on the internet before seeing you in person.
Excellent. Cheers, mate. Have a good night, everybody.
Yep, and you guys.